in the God's record, God's treatise of righteousness, that God said that all the world is guilty before God. Romans 3, if you would. Now, here in Romans chapter 1, just to remind us, because here we are looking at Thanksgiving a bit. And I'll read verse 19 simply for refreshing the context. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, and plain. That which is known of God, that which is manifest in them. So it's a personal thing. Every person has that understanding initially about God. The reason that it is so assured is because God showed it to them. So it has nothing to do with whether anyone told you anything or I just wasn't living in the right country or the right culture. No, wouldn't make any difference. There's a very consciousness of God. Whether you're in the Australian outback or wherever you are, you know that a kangaroo isn't God. You just know that. Now, you may end up worshiping a kangaroo, but that's your problem. You know that a kangaroo isn't God, can't be God, etc. So, verse 20. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly underlined, seen. Why? They're being understood by the things that are made. How do we know the invisible? Because of the visible things we see, as we shared the other day. God is the invisible God. And that we just need to put that all together so we don't get thrown because we can't see God. You can't see 1,000,000,000 things right now, but they're all there. You just can't see them. And they're all functioning quite well. Now, so they're clearly seen by the things that are made, even as eternal power, in other words, all these things for the power of a flower to bloom or anything else, that is an awesome thing. The ability for a flower, blade of grass, a plant, to break through cement, as it were, and grow. Power, marvelous power. Now, so all that eternal power and the Godhead, the deity, God made them. They aren't some accident or something. So that they are all without excuse. Because that when they knew God, when they did know, they glorified him not as God. And here's our little thought. Neither were thankful. They were not thankful. But became vain, a worthlessness, an emptiness, having no value, became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened, blinded. So here they are, and they acknowledge of God, and to thank God, to recognize God as God, obviously, one would have to have reverence and respect for the God who you realize exists. But they were not thankful that they had that light and that understanding. They weren't thankful that they understood, why am I here? What's it all about? Where am I headed? They weren't thankful. They were blinded. They didn't want to know. And they have all other reasons. That's why religions exist, because of the absence of the rightness of God in the life. And we don't want to know God, so therefore we don't do it rightly. We create another way to handle the existence that we know of God, to handle him another way. So now, they were, verse 21, neither were thankful. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So now, what do we know? Well, and without taking time to look at that, though it doesn't hurt to do so, over, if you would, to 2 Timothy. This unthankfulness continues throughout history and proceeds, as history does, on a downward trend. It doesn't go up, it goes down. History is always going downhill, even when you have the rise of the Roman Empire and all of it, the rise of the pyramids. They're all up, but then the whole society that built them is down. All gone. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll know that the problem, the people, the person, the places that we live in our day, this know also that in the last days, our days, perilous, dangerous, difficult, time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and the characteristic that is found, unthankful. And if I'm unthankful for light, I reject light. And you know from 1 John 3:18, 19, 20, men love darkness what? Rather than light. I don't want light. I don't want light. I want darkness. Then here's God, but we don't want to know God. So we blind our minds, and we don't know. And we're unthankful for such light and right to even start with. Be like saying, I know who my parents are. Legitimately, I know my parents. And that's a thing. I know that's the right. And it's good to know that as much as you can. Now, over in the light of that, keeping in mind that as we proceed into now, where we are, we have moved forward, and to the extent and degree that we are thankful for yesterday, to the extent and degree that we're not thankful, then we carry that into the present moment. And as life proceeds with all of its ups and downs and growings and groanings and all of that that we do and proceeding down the corridor of time, then as we don't have a thankful heart, then all of the history that we're accumulating is happening without being thankful, understanding where we've come from and where we're going. And therefore, we accumulate our past, and we carry our past and all of our feelings and experiences, etc. We carry them into the present moment. And then the moment is only for a moment now. And then tomorrow comes, like it or not, ready or not, here comes tomorrow. And now is all gone. And I'm going to carry into tomorrow all of the past that I have in the present. And if I don't answer the present properly in my heart, then I've got all that baggage back in here that I don't have it in order. And I'm going to carry it right into the present, into tomorrow. And that is not going to help me at all. And I'm going to go, and instead of getting a more simplified wonderment of being alive, I'm going to get more complicated, more trying to figure everything out. I got a whole lot of baggage. I haven't orderly put it in order. And as I go forward, then it's going to become much more difficult for me to put together a healthy, reasonable response. We have that in our own country, where the general public is not wanting to be responsible. And they don't want to be. And the government, we're going to be more and more government. And that's already in cement. They're not going to go anywhere. And just like when, is it Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Wasn't Teddy the... Yeah, we forget Teddy. Theodore. In the process, Franklin. When they did Social Security, and they did all that. You remember the Depression and all those things, and they did all these things to make it work for the public. Now, how would you get rid of Social Security today? You can't. It's so deep, so ingrained, so complicated. What's happened now? The next thing that's coming up is going to make more so. And when it gets going, it'll never be able to be stopped. And then you got to figure out, how's it going to work? And thus, so you got the idea. So if we don't work at things properly in our head and heart, then it's going to backfire, and we're going to be stuck with things. And it was simply because we were not having a healthy consciousness of God and a healthy thankfulness for being in the presence of God. And thus, our yesterday, unappreciated and undealt with, enters into our tomorrow, and the present moment of right now, is taking all of yours and my yesterdays and getting them ready to carry into tomorrow. Like it or not, you're going to carry all of that baggage that you haven't got in order, and you're going to bring it. It's right here, right now. And the clock will tick by, and tomorrow will come, and you're going to take all of that baggage and adding right now into tomorrow. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remembering Thanksgiving, because it is a reminder that we as a nation have, as no other nation has this day, no other nation has it, as a nation today. So now, having said that, and in the light of the fact that you would remind yourself that the pilgrims left Holland and England way back yesterday, and they were having pressure. It was much harder to move, but pressure, persecution, and made it, so they had to move forward. And they had hope. They weren't sure, but they were hoping something would be better than what they had. And they were willing to risk, from a human standpoint, to go forward, Mayflower and all of that. So now, here in December in 1620, remember, the calamities were one on top of another in a pile, big pile of them, and they went, you know, and the Mayflower anchored in Provincetown in the winter, November, December, in the harbor, and Dorothy Bradford, the wife of William, fell overboard and drowned, so that took care of her. And then the winter, of course, very hard winter, especially if you didn't have anything, weren't ready for it, and weakened, and so 46 died. And they put them all in unmarked graves and buried them, and then the season, they planted corn over them, corn, so that the Indians wouldn't know how many they lost. They didn't want to know, they didn't want to tell them how many were left, only few were left. And they did that. And they planted corn, etc., so the Indians wouldn't know. Now, and as their numbers kept decreasing, and they had 5 of the 18 wives survived, by the time the harvest, 1621, they had 50 of 103 that started, to participate, and not a single one of them wanted to return or would return on the Mayflower, which was interesting. Now, in the light of that, the things weren't going very hard. They didn't have all the conveniences, to say the least. Now, in the light of that, 2 years later, remember, Governor Bradford gave a proclamation. I'm going to read it, since you probably wouldn't remember it, and since our own country our own state, I was going to give it that, our own state used to have a proclamation of Thanksgiving, you know. It used to go out, and the governor would sign the thing, and it would come to all the churches and the post office, and you would have the proclamation for Thanksgiving. But we don't do that anymore, not anymore. So now, Governor Bradford, November 29, 1963. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims, with your wives and the little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th, in the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on the Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings, William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. Now that was then. They had it. They haven't had an easy time. It's not going to get easier. Going to get quite different. Always going down, though. Well, going up, going down. You have that in your own body. You're little, and you were all little, and some of you are small. You're all growing, 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 growing. And same, growing. Oh, that's true. That's true. But as you're growing, you're in the process. You have to grow so that you ungrow. And you go downhill. You're going downhill. All the time you're going uphill, you have to go uphill, but it's inevitable you're what? You're going downhill, you see. I want to be 20. Good. You're going to be 30. I want to be 30. You're going to be 50 if you keep waiting. And all of that is up and down because God isn't keeping anything. God's going to make everything new ultimately, so he isn't trying to salvage or keep it. So now, if you would, here's George Washington, just... I won't read Lincoln's, but I'll give you George Washington, the first one. And George Washington made a proclamation. And whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection, aid, and favors. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that shall be, that we may now then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country and for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us, George Washington, 1789. And then, of course, there's no proclamation until Lincoln comes along. And then you had Lincoln's proclamation. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and remembering now, it's a very special time for us. We have it. No one else has it. Not like we do. No one else has it. Now, back, except for Israel, going back, why did all of these people bring thanksgiving? Because when God gave his word, from Genesis, and when he finished his word, Revelation chapter 22, when he finished his word, God put in the middle of his word, God, right smack in the middle of his word, God placed a song, and they're called the Psalms, the Psalms. And God put them right in the middle of his word. Genesis, the beginning. Revelation, the end. And he put right in the middle, how are you going to handle it? You're going to have to come with thanksgiving. And that's the trouble. The world isn't looking and answer thanking God. Over, if you would, please, just to sample it. Over in Psalm 95. In Psalm 95, if you would. And may I pick up, please, in thought, just going, letting it, just one after another. That's what we're going to do. Just book of Psalms. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. God, we're going to come with thanksgiving and a song in our heart. Now, how can that be? Because God, you give us songs in the night, God. Psalm 100, which you know. I'll read it. It's such a lovely thing. You make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God, if you would, 105. O give thanks, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous word. God, you are a delightful, wonderful God, and we ought to enjoy that. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God, 107. 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works and with rejoicing. God, it have to be an honoring of you. A respect, a healthy, wondrous respect and reverence for you, God. You made it all. It's you're the creator. We're the created. Psalm 136. And in Psalm 136, going, if I can, to verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. All the way over to verse 26. O give thanks unto the Lord, unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. God, you're always there. You're always there. And you ought to be thanked. You ought to be thanked. We'll pick that up in a sec here. You ought to be appreciated, God. No question. Now, having said that, at Psalms, if you went to the New Testament, you know, as a believer, and were looking, what would you keep picking up all over the place? You'd keep finding this word, thank you. Thanksgiving. Why? Because The church is supposed to have, believers are supposed to have a unique and wonderful personal relationship to God. And that is a wondrous thing. And it's something that causes us to express thanksgiving. Wow. Now, over to, if you would, Ephesians and chapter 5. And you'll notice Ephesians 5, and picking up, if I can, in verse 19, to get a little speak, chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, because God is delighted. God is delighted to be who He is. God is delighted to do what He does. God is delighted to be merciful and gracious and good. And the trouble is that people don't understand God's delight in being who He is. God delights in being who He is and doing what He does. So we don't have to beg God. We don't have to beg God. We don't have to get into great things because God delights being God. He enjoys. He enjoys Himself. That's what He does. Now, so here in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, giving thanks always, always giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice it's giving thanks in everything. God, where are you missing? You're never missing. Never missing. Never. And, God, what do we know? Well, we're knowing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of what? Of my life. So, God, I got my past. I don't want to leave you out. I want to make sure that I have understood your mercy and grace and goodness in all of my yesterdays. You know, like it says in Psalm, remember not the sins of my youth. God, thank you for your grace and mercy and goodness. So now I go forward into now. And I'm looking to God now, and I understand the mercy and grace and goodness of God. So I'm not thinking about all the stupid things I said, did, or people said and did, or what they should do, shouldn't do, or how it's gone, or how my life's been. I've sort of missed out. Nope, not at all. Not at all. I'm thankful. Thankful, God, for your presence. That's how I'm going to go into the future. And thus, God, thanking God always for all things. For all things. Thanking you. Okay, hang on. You know it. Over to Philippians, next door, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4, picking up in verse 6. You're familiar. Be careful, don't worry, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Stop, command, stop worrying. But in everything, here we go again. I wish you wouldn't say that, God. He said in all things. Uh-huh. And now he says again, in everything, because I'm going to not worry about it. I have to come to God with it, whatever it is. In everything, give, in everything, by prayer and supplication, I'm going to come, God, and make sure I'm coming and seeing you and trusting Calvary's cross to deal with my head and heart so that I proceed forward in newness of life. I'm trusting your life and your grace and your mercy and your goodness. So I'm going to go in everything with prayer and supplication, and I'm going to be able to come, God, in all of my prayer, in all of my grief, in all of my groaning. I'm going to make sure I say thank you. I'm going to make sure as I pour out my heart to you, it's with thanksgiving. I don't want to end my thought to you, God. I want it to end with thanksgiving. Now, What do you know? Discontent is the penalty we must pay for being ungrateful for all that we have. Discontent is the penalty we must pay for being ungrateful for all that we have. And you know, it'd be an exercise for you. You cannot be thankful. You cannot be thankful and unhappy at the same time. Try it. You cannot be truly thankful and unhappy at the same time. Can't do it. Can't do it. Wow. Isn't that neat? You don't think about it. If I was thankful, boy, that's going to take a lot with my discontent, because I'm thankful. Now, hang on. I'll read the verse again, 4:6, be careful for nothing and everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes, exceeds all understanding, so you're not going to sit and figure it out, or can it in a can, or put it in your pocket, passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And remember, if you're unthankful, the imagination, Romans 1, your thought process is darkened. It's vain. It's vain. Vain. Your whole thought process, without thanksgiving, you got it all going up here, running hither and yon, trying to find this over here and content over here and happiness and make things work out. And you're trying to do that. Without thanksgiving. Without thanksgiving. And thus, we're just like we are. We have a happiness. Happiness from our human standpoint is what happens. Happiness is based on what happens. If something happens that you like, you're happy. If you don't like it, you're unhappy. So unhappiness is based on happenings in your life. True? And we're like this, up and down, up and down. Depend how day goes, up and down. God didn't give you that. I don't give you that. That's what the world gives you. That's what you have. My joy, my delight, I give unto you. That's just like this, stable. It doesn't have any problem with whether things are terrible or whether everything's wonderful. It's just steady. You see it. You'll see it in a sec. Now, over if you would please. Oh, right. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians in chapter 3. Going directly, if I can, to verse 17. 3 and 17. And whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him in all things, so that in everything you're doing, you're very thankful to God. Whether you're cooking, sewing, sitting on a operating table, whatever's going on, you're thankful to God. Whatever you're doing, eating and drinking, whatever you do, being thankful in whatever you do. So it can't get you. Whatever it is, could be terrible. You've got the green, pink, and blue plague all at once. Wow. But thankfully looking to God. And if you're thankful, you can't be unhappy. Because you're controlling, not with some big mystical something. You're controlling your heart and mind with thanksgiving. That isn't hard. That's easy. Thanksgiving. I say, well, boy, I wish things are so well. The whole God would like things to be different in one sense, but that isn't going to be. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Over to Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians, you know, wonderful statement again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if I can, in verse 18. In everything, or you know the wonderful will of God, verse 16, rejoice always, evermore. Pray without ceasing. Keep your relationship to God quite active. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So in everything, give thanks. Driving your car, going to work, school, home, whatever you're doing, taking the test. In everything, give thanks. Guiding, harnessing your imagination. So it doesn't go all over the place, alienated, blinded, darkened, nothing. I got it all up here, but nothing. I don't have the peace of God which passes all understanding. I'm trying to grab hold of a million pieces that I don't understand and that I don't hold in my hand and I have no control over. And I'm trying to hold them. I can't hold them. I get frustrated because I'm trying to do my part. And you try to do your part. But then everyone else is doing what they think to do. And then the devil's doing what he does. And so you put all of that together, and your little part is subject to all the other stuff going on. And God, if you aren't around, boy am I, I'm just going to be a victim. Victimized. I'm not going to have any benefits. I'm going to be tossed, like Ephesians, to and fro, all over the place, mentally. I'm going to lose. I don't want to lose, God. I don't want to lose. The most wonderful thing you have is the heart as your mind, having the peace, tranquility, the transforming tranquility of God in your heart and mind. That's the most valuable thing you have. Not that you have $1 million. You have your health. So you have a little bit of health for the moment. But hey, I want to capitalize so that I'm healthy, I want to be practicing the presence of God. So when I'm sick, I practice the presence of God. And when there's trouble, I practice the presence of God. And when everything is good, I practice the presence of God. So I'm learning to have a wonderful, wonderful habit of praying without ceasing, without interruption. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So now, what's the great, great objective? Well, the great objective is what? What's our thanksgiving for? To remember all our blessings. To remember the God who gave us the country. God started with the pilgrims, at least on this end of it. Started with the pilgrims, and here we are, still celebrating, fortunately, a Thanksgiving. And we're looking to God, and looking for God and all his benefits. And we take an inventory. And if people didn't... You don't want to take an inventory in light of the government. I'm going to take an inventory in the light of the government, see? And what's the government going to do for me? That's the big thing, isn't it? That's why we got the election. What's the government going to do for me? Well, I don't care about the dumb government. I don't care about it. God is a God. I'm a citizen of heaven, and so are you, I trust. And God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to be caught up in a good government or a bad government. In Abe Lincoln's day, it was a tough time. George Washington's day, it was a tough time. And it's always a tough time. Always a tough time. Go back through and look at all of it. Wow. Kennedy and all of the different presidents and all the stuff that happened. And that's why we're where we're at. That's why we're here. All of those things just snowballed. We never caught anything, never fixed it, and we went right down to where we are today. So now, having said that, looking and taking a good inventory, counting our blessings and name them one by one, one by one. Over, if you would, Psalm 150. In Psalm 115, now, here's a believing heart looking to God. Here are believing hearts looking to God. And all things are happening and we don't control them. We're in the middle of them. We're in the middle of them. We don't control the ball game. We aren't at the top of the pile to call the shots. We're down the bottom and having to live with whatever's up above in the worldly sense said. The principalities and powers, Ephesians 6 and 12, that we wrestle against, they're all doing what they do. So here we are, God, but we're there, and in the process, they say, well, boy, your God isn't very efficient. Hold it. Psalm 115. Not unto us, verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. Unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen, the nations, say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. God is doing what he does. And we're thankfully, thoughtfully going to trust him. Because God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't update anything, forget anything, miss anything. All things are done perfectly and in order. In his grace and mercy, what he allows, what he doesn't allow. And thus, here we are, looking, God, in the light of all our yesterdays, where we've come from, where we are. In the light of all of our tomorrows, God, we haven't even got there yet. But God, do you know, before I get to tomorrow, you are already there. True? We are going, time is in the middle of eternity. There is no time in eternity. And the time, and the calendar, we did it the other day, time and the calendar just march on. You can't stop them. You can't stop them. Wow. And God, here we are. But you know, the world is trying to arc out. Here's Israel over there and all of those difficult situations we mentioned on Sunday. Wow. And God, you know, God told us to be thankful in everything. Thank God that he is who he is. I'm thanking God that he is who he is. I'm not trying to thank God for everything that's out there. I'm thanking God because of who he is and that I can trust him. And all things work together for good. And so, God, before I even get to tomorrow, you're already waiting for me, aren't you? Isn't he? He's already into tomorrow. You and I haven't got there. We have to let the clock and the calendar go by. But he's already there. He's already there. Waiting. Thankful. I'm thankful now in the light of tomorrow. I haven't even got there yet. Thank you. And in closing, if you would, picking up, please, in verse 8. We don't want to get into any kind of system, religious idolatry, or anything else. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them, idols. On the contrary, God. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. That's a wonderful thing, God. For Israel. But Israel doesn't believe. But the house of Aaron, the priesthood, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And at least the priest ought to believe God, but verse 11. Ye, then, whosoever, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. And that's us. That's where we come in. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. Oh, that's good. And he will bless the house of Aaron, and he will. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great, and he will. So God, We're going to look to you with all our hearts. We're going to go and move into the morrow. And you're able to save me. You love me. You live for me. Right now, you're in this room, and I'm here on planet Earth for your glory and your honor. And your Son paid an awesome price for me to be able to be together with you right now and to have this wonderful ability, the wonderful opportunity, I should say, to say thank you. God, thank you. I don't care what anything is. God, my heart is going to say thank you. God. What do you think? Now, we'll pray, and then we'll sing. Our God and Father, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you for your grace and kindness and God, Spirit of God, help us to just be stimulated in the light of your person, your presence, your wonderful grace, so that we don't squander another time when we should learn very much and be reminded greatly of the privilege of being able to thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing a stanza or so, 417. 417.